Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetic. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic Med Spa that's located in Pace, Florida. And today, it's just Chris and I, and we are talking about vulnerability.
Kind of. And really using objective data, trusting your gut. When is data more important than our gut? And what these vulnerabilities can look like in business and as a patient and as just a provider. So even if you're not the business owner, because I think we're all exposed to some of these things and, you know, some, recent interactions, recent transactions got me thinking about this. And again, we're always trying to come up with new podcast ideas and new things to talk about on the podcast. And a lot of this is about what's going on in the aesthetics industry in general, and it applies to like new providers listening to us, patients listening about procedures. And then there's some general life things and life lessons. And I think, you know, as long as we've been doing this, when we have things that happen and occur to us that exposes our vulnerabilities, I think it's important to share, because I think it's really important for people to understand that despite how long you've been in business, you can still make mistakes. You still learn and you still grow from those mistakes, and you still can be vulnerable to certain things, in which we certainly were recently.
You know, I think about it like from our perspective in that particular situation, but then I also think about patients and that vulnerability and like trust, because, you know, they'll come in for a skin texture, we'll just use for an example, and ask like our suggestion or our recommendation. And if we suggest a package of three of something that's $3,500, then their expectation is that we're leading them in a right direction, that they're going to truly get what we promise. And so at that point, they're vulnerable to us. They're vulnerable to knowing that they can trust us for what we say that we're going to deliver and give them the outcome that they want. And so I think that a lot of times we put ourselves in situations by trusting, and whether it's erroneous on the person's part that's telling you that they're going to deliver something, or whether it's just, it just didn't work out quite like it's supposed to, I think we all kind of fall victim sometimes to those situations.
Well, I think once we decide we want something, whether it's an aesthetic procedure, whether it's a new device in the aesthetic practice or a trip somewhere, we tend to look for reasons to support that decision. We tend to ignore the things that point us or move us and to the direction that we wouldn't make that decision. I mean, kind of what led us to this, I guess we'll just share the story. I'll talk about it some here. Got to be careful really with, you know, how I word it, because there could be some legal things that come out of it. But basically, we are always looking at technology, and we want the newest and latest technology in the clinic. And the devices we bring in are things that we really look at that technology before we bring it in. And so there was a rep, and I had worked with him when he was another company, and I really liked him. And some of the data that he was bringing me on some new devices was very promising. And it was an exciting opportunity for us to get something new into the clinic. And I think because of my excitement to bring something new in, like I ignored some of the early warning signs that should have been obvious for us not to make that decision. But because I wanted the new technology, I tend to look at the things that supported that getting that decision rather than the obvious red flags that would have steered me in the opposite direction. And you, what was your thoughts on it from the beginning?
A hard no, but I just had a bad feeling about it. And we've been in this for a long time. And so I know that, one, I know everyone's product's the best product. I know that the ROI is always going to be great. That's how sales works. It doesn't matter.
I guess if those of you who don't know what, like, explain those terms a little bit.
So return on investment is the ROI is what I'm talking about.
And but also, so, like by saying the best product, like every company that comes in here will tell you why their product is better than anybody else on the market. It's the best one. And so every company says that.
The company's going to tell you how much their product costs, how much it costs to use it on each patient, and how much your profit's going to be at the end of the day. And if you do X number of treatments, you're going to be X number of dollars in the positive for your profit for the month. And so the reps are really good at giving you these numbers, but those numbers may not be specific, one, to the product that they have. It may be a similar product, or two, to the area that you're in. And so Chris is very trusting and is very open. And I'd say when it comes to this, to purchases, I'm very guarded and I don't believe anything anybody says.
Yeah. And Jerry says his initial response is no to almost anything. And mine is not always yes, but I love new things. I love new technology, new innovation. And so we are investing in a lot. And over the years, we have lots of new technology here. And I think that's one of the reasons we get such good results, is because we do have amazing technology in this. And so in general, we have learned over years how to be selective with who we partner with. Well, this individual was somebody that had just been, but at a high level position with one of the companies that I very much trusted and has amazing products and that we've used. And so when he left that I transferred that product that we had used before, the company had used before, in my association with him, I brought that trust over, which was wrong. I should have looked further into it. And so we actually invested quite a bit of money, tens of thousands of dollars, for this new equipment that we were supposed to get and use for some really pretty amazing results on the patients compared to the before and afters. Now, you know, the long and the short of it is we found something that was similar technology, but even better, and partnered with another company and have those devices here now. So we still were able to move forward with that concept. And the radio frequency microneedling specifically is what I'm talking about. And we have a very good product here now. We've done this for a long time. We've had multiple versions. The one we're using right now and the company that we ended up partnering with, you know, fortunately had an even better device that I had not heard of yet. And so having this hiccup did lead us to an ultimately better product that we have that's really comfortable. The patients complained of like minimal discomfort with it. We even did it on my mom with no numbing at all. And that's the Melia RF. So I can talk about that and give you very positive reviews. The company that I'm cautious to talk about, especially with this individual, this is not settled yet, took the money and we never have received the device. And so now we are months into this process. So literally this has been probably since the payment was made, literally been almost 9 months and multiple requests and for refunds for payment back. And we still have not received that as of the filming of this today, and have had to move forward with pretty aggressive demands. And if we don't see through to that, or if it's not resolved soon, it's gonna go to follow the legal process according to the contract. But that's where, when I actually look at the data, and if I would have asked for data about how many of these he sold and where the supply chain was coming from and how he was going to guarantee it, I would have realized that he was actually using our money as an upfront investment to bring these products into the US. And when he decided to go another route and not even carry that product, that we had no mechanism to easily get that money back. And so I think that is where my trust, my vulnerability came into play with me ignoring some of the signs that were right in front of me, which, you know, besides your gut just being, no, we don't want to spend this money, me asking for those data points that I normally would ask for, me asking for some of the things that I know is right. So from a consumer standpoint, I think we're all subject to that. That was something I was subject to as a business owner, and an expensive lesson learned, but, you know, led us to some ultimately better technology. But that being said, I think that what you mentioned in the beginning is where the patients are vulnerable and they put a lot of trust into us. And so the providers that are out there in this space, really, I think, you know, it's a great privilege to have patients put that trust in you. And so because we have the privilege of treating them and they're trusting us with their face, with their bodies, with their appearance, we've got to really respect that, honor that, and make sure that we are making decisions that are in the best interest for the outcomes that are not financially driven because of your practice and your bottom line.
Yeah. I think when I say, or when I've heard vulnerability in the past, it for some reason has like a negative connotation to me, but I don't think that that's necessarily the case, because when I hear someone say that they have trust, it feels like something positive. But when you combine those, a lot of times people are vulnerable just because they trust the person that's supposed to be delivering the service. Taking this situation that's not positive, that's a bad situation, has potential to get really bad, and putting it a spin and putting our patients in the position that we're in, I think it really does make you look at things differently and take into consideration how patients feel and how much they trust us for different things. And so even though, like, obviously it's not a positive situation, I think there's a lot of positive stuff to come out of it. I'm not even say positive stuff to come out of it, but it kind of reels us back in and makes me think about when I'm selling things to patients.
No, I agree. I mean, that's, I think, what I wanted to get out of this, and for the patients to understand that I actually appreciate when they ask us questions. And so a lot of them will feel bad to ask, like, what is your training? How many of these procedures have you done? What are the, you know, potential complications? Because they'll say, I trust you. I had rather them ask me all that. I think that any patient should ask their provider, and the provider can't answer those questions, then probably go look for someone else, because your providers should be able to verify all of these things so you understand when you're making decisions that it's not just I like you, I trust you, but you're coming to me from a space or a place of knowledge, of experience, and we all start somewhere. So if it is your first, you know, patient or second patient, when I start a new procedure, I tell them, hey, this is the first few times I've done this. I've went and I've learned this new technique and I'm super excited about it. Here are the things that I know could go wrong, but I'm pretty new to this, so I haven't done a lot of it to be able to tell you X, Y, or Z. But that way that patient understands, and I have not taken advantage of their vulnerability to place their trust in me and now do a procedure just because we are going to have either money from it, or sometimes not even money if it's doing marketing or training or something like that. We don't want to mislead them and let them think we're super experienced with something we haven't really done.
Like I said, it's a situation that, it's humbling, one, because we haven't had anything like this in a while, and especially from someone in the industry that you had a relationship with, that you trusted.
Well, usually I think, the thing is, I speak a lot all over the U.S., some internationally, and most of the time I'm more concerned that these companies or the vendors they go out of their way to take good care of us because they want us to say good things about them. So it's actually the other thing that we usually have that I could never imagine being in this. And that's why I think one of the reasons I let my guard down, because it never occurred to me that they would take money, not deliver the device or change plans altogether, and have a chance of me out there talking about this, like, publicly, you know, in the industry. Now, I'm not going to, I don't want to go down any kind of road here and have them accuse me of defamation, but I assure you that if we don't get this resolved, I will readily share the name and the company of the individual who did this every chance I get, because I can disclose the facts of the case, and I can disclose the facts of what transpired, and certainly I will not be quiet about it. But that being said, I prefer that this case is actually just handled professionally as it should have been 6 months ago. But from a patient, a provider standpoint, I also think that's the way that it should be handled. By all means, you have the ability to go out and leave a negative review. You have the ability to go out and trash that person on Google, leave a one star, whatever it is you want to do to damage them. But ultimately, you would hope that as medical professionals, that you don't have to resort to that to get resolution when either the outcome is not what was expected, that you misjudged or misplaced your trust in some way. Because I do think on both sides, the patients are ultimately wanting these great results, and providers in general are wanting to provide good care. They all start from a place of good intent. Every time I talk to a provider and they're telling me about some complication they had or asking for some, you know, advice on maybe managing a difficult situation, it started from a place of good intention. They want to do the right thing. Now, somewhere along the way, occasionally that gets misinterpreted. So they either use something, an injectable, a topical, a device that wasn't meant for a certain condition, so therefore it doesn't give the results that they hope for. There's a lot of things that we've talked about on prior podcasts where patients may heal different, they may not respond the same, and so it may be a patient-related factor. But, you know, in those cases, when we have that happen, usually here we look at it and we readily admit that is not what we expected. That is not when we had this discussion. This has went a little bit different than what we thought it would go. And we come up with plans to try to mitigate that. Now, that doesn't mean always doing something for free. It doesn't mean giving a refund, because ultimately these procedures also cost us money. And so it's not all about the dollars in the bank, but it's meeting that patient somewhere in the middle and having them understand, like, yes, if I did something wrong or negligent, or then go after me and let me, you know, try to resolve that financially. But in general, it's about, you came here for this problem, let's say a dark spot. The treatment choice that we chose to implement for that dark spot didn't work to the best that I thought it should have, or that you planned on. So let's come up with some alternate treatments, and then we can talk about what that looks like financially. Is it a refund? Is it a repeat treatment? Or is it a discount on a future treatment? That all can be individually decided. So I'm not always saying free, but it is acknowledging that those patients did put their trust in you, and that sometimes as a provider, when humans trust humans, we are wrong. And the no matter how good we think we are at reading people and knowing people, occasionally we are wrong. And when that occurs as a provider and you're wrong, admit that mistake, admit that error. I can tell you some of the bigger mistakes that we've had over the years are still some of our best patients. And, you know, without naming names, we have ones that we've had, we've done laser trainings on, where we used, you know, settings early on with some of the lasers that was like, wow, that was way more aggressive than we thought, or this downtime is way longer than we anticipated. And in those cases, we don't try to convince the patient that they're wrong or they did something. It's like, no, this is a learning lesson for us as well.
We striped them like a bass.
Yeah. And so sometimes they had stripes on their faces from some of the lasers, and the laser's done exactly what it was supposed to. It's a provider error. And those, we end up addressing that, fixing that, taking care of that patient, because ultimately we want them to have a good result. That's what we're in this for.
Ultimately, you want a resolution that's satisfactory for both parties involved. And I just treated a patient this morning that came from another clinic. She had, it was an expensive 3 series of microneedling, radio frequency microneedling. She was dissatisfied with her results because she saw before and afters that were on a banner. But she wasn't the candidate for it that was on the banner. You know, she was postmenopausal, a lot of sun exposure, an active smoker, and didn't get a response, or didn't get the response that she expected. And but she was told by the other clinic that she would have a better response with a more aggressive treatment, which happened to be a CO2 laser. She didn't want the downtime associated with that. So this patient was not, even though she wasn't happy with her result, she wasn't mad at the other client, the other person that had been treating her, because she knew that she may not get the response that she'd gotten with something more aggressive. And so I think that's where the transparency from that other provider, there was no part of her that was mad at that. She just lives here and came to see us. But I think the transparency coming from that other provider made where she can go back at any point, still have a good relationship. And with this situation that you're talking about that we're in, there's just not been transparency. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, personal, professional, business, be transparent.
Be transparent. So, all right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty in the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.